Hello again, folks. This is MJo talking, welcoming you to Rambling and Records with my sincere apologies to both Jello and Jack Benny for that introduction. Wow, it has been a long time. I looked back at my recordings and realized I had recorded an episode in September that I had never released. So welcome back to the one or two of you that is still perhaps subscribe to this podcast. Welcome, welcome. A lot of things have happened in the last year. Personally, I went through a job change and a move, and it was a lot. And I'm finally feeling like, okay, maybe somebody is ready. Maybe my three listeners are ready to hear again my ramblings and my records. So welcome. I'm trying to think back what's happened musically in the last year. A lot of things have happened musically in the last year. Okay, so real talk though. I was going to record a podcast last December. I was just too broken up though about the death of Michael Nesmith of the Monkees, RIP. That was certainly one of those moments where I had to sit down and compose myself because holy shenanigans, Batman. The Monkees and Michael Nesmith are a complete part of my teenage years and my teenage awkwardness, and so that was a lot. I remember when Davy Jones died. Okay, this is totally not where I was gonna go today. But I remember when Davy Jones died. It was February 29th of 2012. I remember it because it was a leap day, and so I told people, oh, this can't have actually happened because the 29th doesn't exist in normal time all the rest of the year. So this isn't real. So I can still remember that. I remember I was still working an overnight job processing tax returns, and I basically just sat there typing away, typing information and just bawling and listening to the Monkees on repeat. And Davey was never my favorite monkey. Mike was always my favorite monkey, but it still, it hits you hard. It hits you hard when it's your childhood icons, because I think even though they weren't a part of they were a part of my childhood. Okay. If we go back, the Monkees 1997 television special was taped on a VHS tape off the TV after the iconic Meet Me in St. Louis that had been taped off of PBS. So, it was a family tape, and I watched that special. Pretty sure that's the first place I ever heard of Ethel Merman, who is my signature. Karaoke, spirit animal. So, anyway, long history with the Monkees. Mike was always my favorite, and it's like Davy was a gut punch. Peter died, I want to say, in 2017. I guess I could have like actually done some research, but anyway, that wasn't as it didn't hit as hard, but it hit hard. Davey was sudden because like he was the one, he exercised, vegetarian. He was the youngest of the group, so that was wild. Peter was not, it was surprising, but he had had previous bouts of cancer. Nez was totally out of left field. I had just seen him in November of 2021. I have to think of what year we're in. I had just seen him in November. My sister and I went to see Mickey and Mike perform. It's the last concert series. Nez was going to retire. He didn't look good. And that's, I had actually started recording a podcast about that concert. And I was like, A, no one wants to hear my opinion. But two, like, he did not look good. And you could really tell that, like, okay, this is the last time he's on tour. I'm glad we went. We had like fourth row seats. It was amazing. I've never been that close, except for the time that Davy Jones played at a church in Woodbury. And I was there and I got my record signed. And like that, I was close for because it was one of those outdoor things. But this had like structured seating. So, closest I've been for a structured seated concert of the Monkees. It was amazing. And I'm glad I went. I'm glad I went with my sister. It was a great time. And then a month later, Mike's dead. And that was a total, like, even though he didn't look good, total punch to the gut. Michael Nesmith's music has gotten me through so much. A lot of people, of course, don't give the monkeys their due. And I feel like that's a dead horse that we beat constantly. But Michael Nesmith really was an artist. And if you have never listened to anything by Michael Nesmith and the First National Band, I encourage you to get out there. The first two albums are phenomenal. And he does some really great covers. He does a really great cover of I Fall to Pieces that I really enjoy. And it just, he was the father of that whole pop rock country, rock country genre before it was a thing. That is what he was out there doing. And I am not a huge fan of country. I, of course, have bits and pieces that I like, some classic country, nothing modern, I will say. So I apologize to any country purists here. But he just, it was phenomenal. I mean, even his later stuff after the First National Band is just fire. And he was just such a great songwriter. I mean, come back to the fact we all know about Michael Nesmith, besides the fact that his mother invented liquid paper. He wrote Different Drum, and Linda Ronstadt and the Stone Ponies had a hit with that. And that's such a phenomenal song in and of itself. So it was just very surprising because, yes, we all have our heroes. Yes, our heroes die. Death is a natural part of life. We should all be prepared for that. But it always takes you, like, just off guard. Because I can still, like, I had to sit down. I did not believe it. My brother had told me because he had gotten a BBC News alert. And I it just still, I'm starting to get verklempt here, holding it together. But it's just one of those things. I have one of those moments where it's like you can remember where you were. I remember being in middle school when George Harrison died. That was a huge deal. And George Harrison is not has never been my favorite Beatle. I've enjoyed him and I appreciate him more now as I've gotten older, as I've listened to a lot of his post-Beatles stuff. I really can appreciate Brainwashed, by the way, which they released after his death. That's just having a 20th anniversary this year, and I would encourage you to listen to that album too, because there are some couple of great songs in there. I love his cover of Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. That's really good, but that was a good album. Anyway, I can remember because they played on the radio. Back when people listened to the radio, they played, I think, like a solid day of his hits. And I just remember, like, some kid, I think it was in health class, if I'm picturing the right classroom, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, I read that one of the Beatles died in the paper." And I'm wearing my Beatles t-shirt, and I was one of the few kids in middle school who was like Beatles crazy. Yeah, just so. Yeah, that was something I'd started recording, and I'm still just not like ready to address it. It's almost been a year, but it's just weird. It's weird to think of a world, and the whole Michael Nesmith thing too is just kind of a little strange as well because he had gotten kind of strange. He had spent basically most of his adult life after he had gotten sober, being sober, and all of a sudden he became a big pothead. And was a proponent of smoking pot, apparently had untreated diabetes. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the rumor mills, and it's just kind of sad. It was really sad that that happened to him. We'll never know the real story of what was going on there, what everything was, but he was not doing well. And so it shouldn't have been a surprise. It was a big surprise. To me, that's the biggest thing musically that's happened in the last year. So, I guess that gets us up to speed. Between the moving and the new job, and it's just been really hard. I don't know Imposter syndrome is a thing that gets thrown around all the time, and that's kind of how it feels recording a podcast because I know nobody's listening to it. I'm not actively like, here, friends, family, listen to all these thoughts that I've already vomited at you for years. And it's just really like a mental, like, you're not good enough. I think that branches into like mental health and everything, and I'm not gonna go there, but it's really hard to get up the chutzpah to think, okay, there are people out there who might want to hear me ramble about the conspiracy theories behind Michael Nesmith's death. Like, and I know the internet is a weird, wild, and wonderful place, and it's also full of really dark things, and yeah, so it was just really hard to get up that verve to think that maybe there's someone out there who gives a hoot about what I'm thinking or what's going on musically, but here we are. No theme. I just wanted to say hello and that I plan on coming back with a vengeance and maybe having some structure. We're entering into the Christmas season as of this recording, so I'd love to talk about some of my favorite Christmas classics. Which is I think it's a lot of nostalgia driven in terms of Christmas classics. Like, they're the classic songs, but everybody's got those things that they did as a family. And if you don't, I'm terribly sorry that you don't. But most people do. Most people have things they enjoy. Maybe it's, and it's all that emotionally tied to nostalgia kind of thing. So I just want to say, hey, I've been acquiring some records here. Actually, I just got a notification that I won an Eddie Cantor radio recorder of Let's Go Out and Ring Doorbells and Get the Neighbors to Vote, which I already have a copy of. Now you're going to say, Emjo, why would you buy a second copy of a record that you already have? Well, that's a great question. A, Eddie Cantor is like my fave. And in life, I have decided that I need to have basically air and a spare for all of his biggest releases. And you might laugh at that, but it's true. I have started accumulating duplicates. If in theory to upgrade what I already have, and then I could get rid of the spares, but I'm a freak and I don't want to because somebody has to remember Eddie Cantor maybe 50 years down the road, and that someone is me and the small marginal group of people on Facebook. And so a lot of there hasn't been really anything good on eBay when it comes to Eddie Cantor. I haven't even seen anything in Knox Vintage Records, which is one of the big auctions for 78s. There was, like, within the last 2 years, someone sold, I think, almost the complete Vitaphone disc set of Whoopi, and I really wanted it, but I didn't have like $1,200 to plop down on it. So that's my biggest regret in the Eddie Cantor field. So I've just been picking things up as they come up, and I haven't actually seen anybody have one of these radio recorders before. I have been given my copy by a friend of mine, or an acquaintance, I guess. Friend is such a loose term because I like to think of people as my friends and then they never text you back. So they get bumped down to acquaintance. So I had an acquaintance who used to bum me Eddie Cantor stuff all the time because they knew they could find it. They had copies of things. And so I got this copy for free. Love it. Love it to death. It's a great little ditty about, is your congressman stalling? Is he getting your goat? Let's go out and ring doorbells and get the neighbors to vote. And I think it's really great because in this political climate we're living in, I'm not going to get political because obviously, whoo, that is a powder keg. But I think it is wonderful to encourage people to vote. I appreciate that the efforts of getting all of our neighbors, getting all of the young people to vote. I appreciate that. And it's just such a cute song that, yes, I love it. And so I saw it just came up on eBay and I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna watch it. Not gonna necessarily buy it if it goes crazy. Well, in a surprise to no one, it did not go crazy and I bought it for the minimum bid because I am a freak and I needed a second copy. Because what happens if the first copy breaks? Then I have no copy. Then I have the terrible recording I made on my phone from my Bendix. It's just better, air and a spare. And three copies is then just getting a little excessive. That's getting a little greedy. But most of the recordings, I have managed to at least get a copy. I did pick up another Eddie Cantor recently. It's one of these Armed Forces discs. It's a 12-inch thing, and he's just it's a sing-along disc. I've never seen a sing-along disc like this, but basically, he has a message to the troops, how you doing, blah blah blah. Let's all sing. And then you have, the chorus of servicemen in the background singing along with him and him interjecting little things. It's really cute. And I had seen a second copy come up after I bought the first one, so I bought the second copy because I'm, again, free. No regrets though, because really Eddie Cantor, soft spot in my heart. I would say I'm his biggest fan, but then that evolves into basically a pissing match where everyone's like, "Well, I know this obscure fact. Well, I know this obscure fact." No, I'm a huge fan. I appreciate his work. I appreciate his influence on culture. I mean, Eddie Cantor coined the phrase March of Dimes. And so, March of Dimes as we know it, that phrase was coined by Eddie Cantor. You're welcome. Eddie Cantor actually introduced Santa Claus is Coming to Town in his radio program. He never recorded it himself, but he did introduce it on the radio. So, you're welcome. There are a lot of things, and it's just, he gave a lot of people their starts. I mean, LeBeau from Hogan's Heroes, Robert Clary. I think it's Robert Clary. I need to fact check this. So hold. Yes, Robert Clary, who just passed away at the age of what? He was 96? 97? He was 96. Okay, so Eddie Cantor got Robert Clary his start, and Robert Clary married one of Eddie Cantor's daughters. I think that was the last time latest I've seen Eddie Cantor's name in the papers at all, which is wild to me. He helped Sammy Davis Jr. get his start, talked to him about Judaism. So Eddie Cantor deserves some respect. He did some things. I mean, obviously that his style of entertainment went out a long time ago. We're not fans of blackface, and that's just a very entangled topic. But in terms of comedy, he was one of the best at his time of entertaining, and he really did have a popular radio program. Anyway, I could go on and on. I probably will at some point, but so it's important to me to save some of these more obscure things, not because they're not being housed somewhere, and I don't know if they're being housed somewhere. Likely that they are, but it's nice to think that, someday this will still live on and will still be like a clue to someone's career, Nobody's ever heard of Eddie Cantor these days, really, and that's a shame. Anyway, I could go on and on. Although I will say one more thing. Side note, last night, just segue. At 5 years later, I finally sat down this past weekend and watched Feud, which was about the Joan Crawford Bette Davis feud. During the production of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and so on and so forth. Very good program. It was very engaging and very moving. So that, of course, whenever you watch a program like that, or at least whenever I watch a program like that, it always kind of spirals. So then I start going onto Wikipedia. So then I have to Wikipedia Joan Crawford. Then I have to Wikipedia Bette Davis. And then I have to Wikipedia this and that. And I'm on Jack Warner. And then I'm reading. So anyway, I get to the Academy Awards. And I'm reading about each individual Academy Awards ceremony because why not? What house is a bigger time suck than that? And I'm reading along and I'm reading along, and it really struck me. Everybody and their mother got an honorary Oscar for all the stuff they had done. Everybody and their mother started performing at the Oscars. And yet, it wasn't until the 29th Oscar ceremony in 1957 that Eddie Cantor got his honorary Oscar. And I thought that was shameful, especially since Danny Kaye had gotten his the year before. Like, Daryl Zanuck got like two or three. Okay, maybe it wasn't Daryl Zanuck, but all these other people. Walt Disney got like dozens of these honorary awards. It's like, come on. Come on. I mean, Eddie Cantor was the president, I think. Might have just been of the Screen Actors Guild. I'll have to fact check myself at some point and release a oops, let me update you, as if anyone cares. But if you find out and you care to update me, let me know. Anyway, didn't receive it until 1957. And the biggest thing that bothers me, which will also be a podcast someday, an episode of this podcast, is that the year that that dang movie, The Eddie Cantor Story, yes, I forgot the name of it. It's such a terrible movie. It is so awful. If I ever feel depressed, I watch that movie because it makes me feel better about my life. Like, that's how awful that movie is. Keith Brazzell, the worst actor I think I have ever seen in my life, the person chosen to play Eddie Cantor, presented at the Oscars, but where the hell? They didn't ask Eddie Cantor. That was rude to me, especially since he's so terrible. Anyway, point being, didn't get it until the 29th Oscar ceremony. Wild. Just wild to me. Anyway, we're segueing. Purchased this record. It'll be coming. Actually, cool thing that happened to me today. I didn't know FedEx delivers on Saturdays. Because previously I was living in an apartment, and if I missed FedEx and they didn't leave their little slippy thing, or if nobody was around, you had to wait till the next day. And so I was watching my tracking for my Knox package, and it said it was out for delivery today, but then it said delivery date of Monday, and I was like, okay, that's cool. Oh, wait, not a huge deal. And then, sure enough, I'm going outside. I was going to take some pictures of the house because I put up a few Christmas lights in the window. I finally got this battery operated candelabra to work. I'm sure it has a life of its own. Anyway, and there was my Knox package. Now, Knox is Knox Vintage Records, and they're a big auction house based out of Spring, Texas. And he is one of the biggest auctions for 78 RPM records. So, he does two auctions a year, spring and fall. And usually he's got the goods. And when I say he's got the goods, he's always got at least one record I've been dying to have. And that's what sucks me in because it's like I don't need anything. But when you've got a copy of Eddie Morton, another Eddie, that I need to collect, I need to bid on it. I mean, yes, technically not a need, but a personal collector's need. So, anyway, wasn't anticipating that box coming today, but it did. Some of the goodies I got in the box, I'm going to save my favorite record for last. I got a record that's signed by Aileen Stanley. Now, most of you listening are going to be like, who the heck is Aileen Stanley? She was a big performer back, in the teens and 20s. My favorite sides of Aileen Stanley's are hers with Billy Murray and their duets, and I just adore them. Does she love me positively? Does he love me absolutely, positively, absolutely, and how? Anyway, they're super cute. I started a novel where it was set back in the 20s, and Billy Murray and Aileen Stanley were actually a crime-fighting duo. I never finished it, just because the premise was a little thin, but it's always one of those projects I want to go back to because I adore Billy Murray. And Billy Murray was an acquired taste for me, not to be confused with Bill Murray. Billy Murray was one of the most prolific recorders of the early 20th century. Any early song, chances are Billy Murray recorded it several times for several different companies. But anyway, this record is not Billy Murray and Aileen Stanley. It is just Aileen Stanley, but it is autographed. And because everyone's like, who the heck is Aileen Stanley? I got it. Because not that many people want an autographed copy of Sweet Man and Flamin' Mamie. So, oh, accompanied Ukulele and Jazz Effects by Billy Uke Carpenter. So, this is going to be a fun listen, I think. Let's see what else. I did get a copy of a record by the New Orleans Owls. It's Meat on the Table and Piccadilly. This should be an entertaining record. We've got some Cab Calloway, Harlem Hospitality, and the Jitterbug. So that should be fun. Oh, I got the Shimmy Shawabble, the original Wolverines, in theory, as well as the new Twister. And the big one that I needed to bid on, the huge one I needed to bid on that I've already listened to, basically ripped open the package because I had to hear it, is Victor 24766, You're the Top, as sung by Cole Porter. Absolutely my favorite song. And I'm actually because, Anchor and Spotify have that partnership. If you're listening through Spotify, you're gonna get lucky, or Anchor, I guess, because I'm gonna embed the song before the next segment because it is one of my absolute favorites. So I go, of course, we're gonna go down memory lane again. When I was a teenager, that's how I came to know Cole Porter. And of course, there was the Lovely the movie, and so they play You're the Top at the end of the movie. Absolutely adore. But Cole Porter himself did not record that many records, and so this is one of them. It's fantastic, and it has a lot of references that most people don't get anymore. And I always found it funny back when I was a teen because I was a nerd, and I was like, hey, the nose on the great Durante, because at least I knew who Jimmy Durante was. Absolutely phenomenal. Oh, and that's the one nice thing about Knock Records is that they're usually, pretty pristine. I mean, they will lay it out if it's not, but this is graded as an E minus, and I'd say it's an E minus record, totally. Just, it's not, it's just, it just plays. It's really good. So that's what, and I did get a Bic Spiderbeck record in the mail as well. So I'll be listening to that soon. So those are kind of some of the records of note that have come in the mail. Trying to think if there's anything else musically, but I'm not, I don't think so. Well, since that's all musically, without further ado, let me try and add this. So if you're listening on Spotify, you should be able to hear You're the Top, as sung by Cole Porter. LOL, just kidding. So, in trying to get this episode ready to publish, apparently, if you put in a song, then the episode is only available to Spotify. And as someone who only gets their podcast solely from Apple, I decided to nix that. So, nobody's listening to You're the Top. And instead, I encourage you go out to www.ramblingandrecords.com. And in the blog section is where I've started setting up a blog for each episode. There, you'll find the link to Cole Porter singing You're the Top from YouTube. Or if you want to just Google it, be my guest. Google it, do your own research about Cole Porter. It's a wonderful song. Highly recommend. But it is at this point that I am going to insert a plug for our sponsor here, which is Anchor. Just in case you thought I might have forgotten, I did not forget our Rustian roulette, where I pick a random page in a random song from one of Rust's discographies. We are currently working on Jazz Records, 1897 to 1942. And I put it, the song, and the information on the website. And you go and listen to it, and we're all exposed to brand new music. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. So, well, I mean, at one point in time, I had thought that maybe I would actually read through the entire discography, and that would be like a wonderful way to memorize who these people are, what they played, what records are good, what are not good. But I think my Rustian roulette is a better idea. So, we are going to be looking at Jimmy Noone's Apex Club Orchestra doing Four Five Times. This was released on Vocalion 1185 back in 1928, I think. Okay. And let's see who is on this record. We've got Jimmy Noone on clarinet, Joe Poston on alto sax, we've got Earl Hines on piano, Buddy Scott on banjo, and Johnny Wells on drums. So that is Four or Five Times as done by Jimmy Noone's Apex Club Orchestra. I'm going to go ahead and put the link on the website, ramblingandrecords.com, in the blog for this episode. Otherwise, I do encourage you to go out and Google Jimmy Noone's Apex Club Orchestra Four or Five Times, and you'll hear the song. It is very good. I hadn't heard it before. Jimmy Noone is a familiar name, as is Earl Hines. So it was very good, very well worth the listen. So, that being said, that's all the time we have today. Just want to say thank you if you've listened through this far, and I appreciate you listening, and I will be back soon with a brand new ramble. Have a wonderful day, evening, week, month, year, and such, and so on. Ta-ta!